As we're getting ready to start, please feel free to sit at the table, and there are plenty of room at the table as well. So.
Check.
I've lost everything. Give me about 2 minutes.
Okay. We still need about 2 minutes to get started. Again, please feel free to sit at the table. We're facing quite a bit of competition for people because of a conflicting session talking about IDNs at the ALAC meeting. So, anyway, we need a couple more minutes to get connected to the phone. I think Jane should be joining us on the phone as well.
I have to do a full reboot. I lost it. It'll take me about 2 or 3 minutes. No, I have to call it back in. I lost everything. I'll give you a thumbs. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Apologies for the delay. We're waiting for the dial out for those who are participating remotely. So please bear with us for a couple more minutes.
Almost there. Thank you.
the reason we have silence here is we're just waiting for the dial out to work. And sorry, thank you for coming, but we're just still waiting for the technical to set up, to get set up, so we can get started.
Okay, I'm going to make the announcement when we're ready to go. Give me 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the 3 o'clock start in Hall 4D, Joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN Working Group.
Okay, we're good to go. Welcome, everyone. Do you need to add the, usually the session starts stuff, or do I just go ahead? I'll just go ahead now?
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right, so thank you, everyone, for joining the JIG meeting, the Joint CCNSO, GNSO, IDN Working Group. I don't see a lot of my colleagues around here. I guess we're in stiff competition from other sessions. I just came from an IDN session that's ongoing at the ALAC meetings. So, but in any case, thank you for those of you who could join us. So this is following from our monthly conference calls now, and the main agenda is to talk about the IDM variant TLDs, and especially the letter from the letter to the CCNSO and GNSO councils in response to the board resolution, and to talk about the some updates on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs and any other thing. So that's a pretty short agenda. I'll, as usual in our public meetings, I'll just do a quick background of who we are and where we came from. The JIG was chartered by mutual charters by the CCNSO and GNSO councils, and it was to identify issues of common interest between the two SOs in terms of IDNs, and three of which were identified, including IDN TLD variants and universal acceptance, which we will talk about today. We had biweekly calls from March 2010. It was changed to monthly calls because the level of work has dropped a little bit and since last year. We've been having face-to-face meetings. We've had a workshop on single-character IDN TLDs, and we also had a workshop on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs last time in Beijing. So that's a quick background of the group. So in terms of this particular meeting, as discussed on our previous conference calls, we'll spend the first half talking about our draft, letter in response to the board resolution on IDN variant TLDs. So earlier in the year, in Beijing actually, the ICANN board resolved to adopt two of the variant project reports, one of which is what is called the LGR, the Label Generation Rule Set report. The other is the user experience report. And in the resolution, the board also requested interested supporting organizations and advisory committees to provide a response to the implementation of the recommendations. It was scheduled to be before July 1st. Obviously, that date has passed. We have asked the councils to forward a note to the board asking for a slight extension on that. So in any case, that's the current situation. In terms of the draft and the summary is really in response to the resolution and the two documents. The summary basically on three main points to respond to the resolution. First of all, it's the it's sort of a confirmation from the reports, which is consistent with the community understanding all along, that IDM variant TLDs is not a purely technical matter. It couldn't be solved in a purely technical manner, and therefore needs requires a policy decision. I'll get more into this in a little bit. And the second point is that basically based on that, the CCNSO and the GNSO should be, as supporting organizations, should develop the policies for the IDM variant TLDs and also continue to monitor the implementation of the policies. So that's number two. And then third sort of recommendation back is a broader based outreach. It's in line with our report on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. The many issues that were raised in the user experience report really should really calls for ICANN and the ICANN community to spend a little bit of effort to reach out to the technical community to explain to them the challenges that will be coming along with the implementation of IDN variant and IDN variant TLDs. So that's the summary. I'll go back go into the a little bit of the details of what we included. So in terms of confirming, I guess, that there is a policy aspect to IDN variant TLDs, it's pretty clear from the report that there is a competing view from technical community and the linguistic community in terms of what conservativeness means and in terms of what conservatives means in the implementation of IDN variant TLDs. On one hand, of the technical community views more conservative as doing less, having less IDN variant TLDs in the root. In the linguistic community, the kind of conservativeness is having more because it helps the user more if there's more protection and more conservative to have more of the IDN TLDs in the root. So the balance between these two views is essentially the policy decision that ICANN is tasked and the ICANN community must bear in terms of the responsibility of making. So eventually, ICANN must make this decision between balancing between the what is called, what is viewed as conservativeness between the two communities. So that's with that one, that sort of forms the basis that the SOs should be involved and continue to be involved in the oversight of the processes to put in place IDN variant TLDs. And also that the CCNSO and GNSO should separately provide policy recommendations for the implementation of IDN variant TLDs. This is not showing completely, so let me... Right, so... And really, that's pretty much the first point in terms of that the two SOs should must oops should work on that the issue itself is of has a policy aspect and the two SOs needs to work on it. Just following a little bit further on the user experience report. There is the general conclusion is that there are different languages and different scripts have different specifications and different requirements for IDN variants. But there is also a set of recommendation in section 6.2, which we particularly singled out, that is for registries. The reason why we've sort of singled it out is because the registries, the section 6.2 in the user experience report actually lists out a number of recommendations for registries to implement. And through the conversation with the authors in Beijing, it became clear that those should be considered optional by the authors, and I think that's an important note. And further to that, really, is that I'll come back to this point a little bit more, but those would be recommendations that are not included in the current set of policy recommendations from the GNSO nor from the CNSO, for that matter, if you will, and therefore would require much more policy work to put in place. So there's a caution in the note that says, you know, section 6.2 is probably should remain optional, and if there needs to be an implementation, that might need to trigger additional policy work. Oops. So moving forward on the topic following is that, as mentioned, because it has a policy aspect, the two SOs should have policy recommendations in place. In terms of the CCNSO side, the IDN CCPDP final report currently does not include any recommendations for IDN variant TLDs. There is a placeholder there. So the recommendation there is that further work needs to be done by the CCNSO to make policy recommendations on IDN variant TLDs for their implementation for IDN CCTLDs. On the other hand, for the GNSO side, we took a look at the outcomes report from the GNSO IDN working group, which was adopted and incorporated into the GNSO final report on the new GTLDs. And the view is that they already include relevant policies, policy recommendations for the implementation of IDN variant TLDs. If that is within the recommendations, then no further policy development process should be required for its implementation at this stage, again, at the root level. So, in the document, we've quoted the actual few items, including the language community input, one string per new GTLD, new IDN GTLD, and it includes a sentence that says, except for IDN variant, for handling IDN variant TLDs, in which case it would be more than one string per application. It also lists out the limitation of confusion and collision as a reason for in introducing IDN variants, and specifically distinguishes it between confusingly similar strings as well. So it's actually quite consistent with the two reports that came out, including the LGR report and the user experience report. So, and the final point is, as mentioned, the prioritization or increase some priority for ICANN to allocate, budget and efforts to tell the world about that this is coming, that IDN variant TLDs are coming, IDN variant implementations are coming, and it's somewhat similar to the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, and they share a similar set of target audience, the technical community, the user community, and they are both issues related to consumer trust for the DNS, because it relates to the ability of being able to reach a certain resource through the DNS. And so finally, they're also included a brief explanation that the current set of reports, the two reports, have not specifically included any review mechanisms. And in considering ICANN's commitment to accountability, openness, and transparency, that periodic reviews of these processes and implementation should be important and should have the participation from the SOs. So that's however, this particular letter doesn't specify any specific review mechanisms. It's just that to raise the point that review mechanisms might be needed. So the letter itself includes three annexes it's drafted to be used by CCNSO and GNSO Council for their consideration. Just as a background, the JIG was chartered to report back to the two councils, and so any report created by the JIG would go through back to the councils, and the councils could, in their decision to forward to the board or otherwise. And that's our recommendation, of course, is for it to be adopted and passed forward. So that's really the summary of the letter in response to the board resolution. And so I wonder if there are any questions, thoughts, comments on this before I go into next steps. Okay. Seeing none, I wonder if Steve or Nyla or some from the staff would be willing to perhaps give your thoughts or any updates on the implementation itself. So, Nyla? Thank you.
Thank you. Let me get a little closer, sorry. So I think I understood we want to do a little bit of an update on the implementation of the LGR, correct? Oh. That's what we're doing here?
Okay. On the whole program, I guess.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, on the whole program.
The whole program, okay. So starting from, and I didn't prepare slides for this because, frankly,
pretty
what
brief
we want
would be would be sufficient.
Okay, but I do encourage everyone to come to the session that we're holding on Thursday. So instead of doing slides here and there, we want everyone to come and give feedback at that session. But the quick update here, so starting from the board resolution that was passed during the Beijing meeting, which was in actually three different parts. One is to go ahead and implement the procedure that was developed in the previous phase of the RDN variant program. So this is the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the DNS root zone and respective IDNA labels. So that was one part. Then there was also a part to incorporate the label generation rules for the root zone in respect of IDNA labels in impacted processes. And then to invite interested supporting organizations and advisory committees to provide staff with any input and guidance they may have to be factored into implementation of the recommendations on the user experience study. So starting from there in April, that pretty much launched the phase four of the program. And we've presented this in several meetings before. So the IDN variant issues project started in 2010, eventually evolved into the IDN variant program. It went already through three phases, and this phase that we're talking about now represents phase four, the implementation phase. So it includes the implementation of the LGR and then incorporating this input. On the implementation of the LGR, if you remember what the procedure calls for, it's a two-pass procedure. The community through what's called the generation panels develop their LGR for their script, and that's submitted to ICANN, which that's submitted to the next system pass a process, which is the integration panel. Integration panel vets the proposal, may come back with questions to the generation panel. Eventually, when the proposal is accepted, it gets admitted into the label generation rules. So to implement that procedure that calls for both integration panel and generation panel, we've done work on both pieces. So the integration panel, there was a call in June for experts to join the integration panel. That call closed already, I think, by the end of June. We have applications that came through for that expert panel, and we are in the process of evaluating those applications. And I think in the call we said the selection will be made, or candidates will be informed by end of July, sometime around end of July. So that's on the integration panel. And it's important to establish the integration panel first, because the integration panel has some setup work that it needs to get going on before it can start taking proposals from the generation panels. In terms of response, we got about 25 applications. They're pretty good representations of the communities that we, the expertise that we do need on the panel. We'll talk more about that in terms of the background and the type of interest that we received. We'll say more about that in the in the session on Thursday. For the second part of the procedure, the generation panels, we did issue a call last Thursday, I think it was 11 July, for the generation panels to start forming themselves. So this is really for the communities to start looking at what it would take to create a generation panel and start interacting with ICANN. There's a lot that needs to be developed in terms of it's all according to the procedure, but there'll be a lot that needs to be developed in terms of the logistics. And frankly, the way we're looking at it is the first few panels will probably be helping shape the process as they go along. So in terms of what kind of support from the staff will be needed and whether we will do the same logistics that we did in the first phase when we did the case studies or not. So that is currently being developed. At the same time, we have the generation panels also thinking about what they want. So these panels are community and volunteer-based. As per the procedure, there will be one. We expect that there will be one panel per script. It is expected that in some cases there will be panels that will be based on prior work in the community, on prior similar work that has already existed in the community. And in terms of time frame, it is. I think we will be ready for them in terms of the integration panel. Be ready for the generation panels to start working, to start their work around the third quarter of this year. So, September time frame. So that generation panel call is out, and I encourage everyone to go and read it. And while we're here, or even after we leave, please email. I imagine there'll be questions about what it takes to establish a generation panel. So just please send us email questions or stop us in the hallways or whatever it takes. Per the procedure, once these panels are established, they'll be officially seated, a chair will be officially appointed, and then they can start their work. What else do we want to say? So that's the two pass system. That's the LGR procedure. In terms of the other part of what we're doing in the implementation is taking into consideration both the user experience study, which you went briefly through these recommendations. And frankly, we haven't really started to rule out what is implementable and what's not, because we're waiting for the input that's coming from the SOs and ACs per the resolution. And we have the input from ALAC so far. That's been submitted. And we haven't established an official extension. The input was due by 1st of July, but internally the team has accepted that, you know, we have the ICANN meeting and everybody's busy with the ICANN meeting, and some of the work will be happening here. So we sort of established this internal deadline of 28th of July to give everyone time to get their input in. And that's when we will really be sorting through the input and the recommendations. So that's on the user experience side. There's a big part of what needs to happen also is once the LGR is rolled out and the work of the LGR is going, ICANN needs to get ready for when and if variants are allocated. We need to get ready for these variants in terms of our handling of the variants, in terms of both the ICANN systems and processes. Things as simple as, you know, in IANA, we're now talking about how to handle these records in terms of processing them from when a delegation request is received until it's in the root zone, and then further on maintenance of that. So are the variants tied together somehow, separate? If a change happens to one, does it happen to every all the other TLDs, etc. And so that's what's happening in Project 7. And we're currently trying to basically pull together all the information that we need to. We're calling it the ground rules of, you know, how these things will work, and then provide them to the different departments that need to update their systems to be able to handle these things. I mean, I can tell you even. We were in a discussion about 2 weeks ago, and it's things like, oh, well, how are we going to refer to these IDs? I mean, even at the level of IDNs, how are we going to refer to them in the systems? So will we use the A label, the XN dash dash? Will we use the U label? If I can't read an U label, what am I going to call it, right? If I'm talking about this label, what will I call it? So I think it even goes down to these things that we, you know, probably like nobody has started thinking about. But so these are the things that we need to start thinking about of what, in terms of implementation, what's affected and what is the team's recommendation and how can we work with the different departments to help them get there. And then, as we've said from the beginning, I think with this project, as we go along, there are things that pop up that maybe haven't been discussed. And so it's the team takes it as its duty to document these issues and bring them to the community for discussion. So by us going to the departments and saying, all right, you know, start looking at your systems, what do you need to do? There may be things that they will say, well, we need this, you know, this item is something that we still need to discuss, so that we may be coming back with issues, or that department may be coming to the community with issues. At this time, we don't know what they are. So that's what we're doing. If any of my colleagues here have anything to add, but that's where we're at on the implementation side.
Thank you, Nyla. Any additions? I see that I think Jonathan and Joseph and Andy, perhaps some others are on the call. I just want to see if you have any questions or comments at this time. No? Well, I'm not sure whether you're being able to speak up, but if not, in any case, I am looking at the chat. So if you have any questions, feel free to put it into the chat. So I guess there is no audio on Adobe Connect. Okay. I don't know whether the technical team has taken note of that. It seems like they're not getting the audio on Adobe Connect. But in any case, I guess unfortunately we'll continue to move forward on here live. Oh, okay, they're working on it. So in terms of next steps, as sort of mentioned a little bit, the letter is being sent to the GNSO and the CCNSO Council. For the GNSO Council, it was discussed in the workshop a couple days ago, and it will be discussed at the council meeting here in Durban. Because it sort of missed the motion sort of schedule, it might be bumped to the next meeting for the actual resolution. But I've had a chat with Jonathan, the chair, that they, you know, he's willing to try to push it forward. We'll see what the response from the other councillors are. But in any case, it's in the process. In terms of the CCNSO Council, perhaps I wonder if Bart, you have any update?
It will be on the agenda for upcoming Wednesday afternoon. So
thank you. So those are sort of on track. And in terms of I'm just bringing this up for the group, following up from some of the discussions from the GNSO session. Actually, Steve Shang brought up a point that in our current letter, it doesn't specify the review mechanisms that we're suggesting that there should be. Then perhaps we might want to look into follow up work on it. The first question is going to be whether this is going to be common across CCNSO and GNSO or not. And then if it is, then perhaps we can this group would be appropriate to suggest review mechanisms back to the two councils. If not, then our work will be, you know, stop there, and the councils themselves will have to figure out what further work to do. So with that, I guess I again open up to see if there are any thoughts, comments, suggestions at this point in terms of next steps. I'm hoping those on Adobe Connect can hear me, but and if you have any questions, please type in or can they speak up from the Adobe Connect? I guess probably not, but. Oh, yes, they can hear us. That's great. But no one else. Okay. So in any case, I guess, so Steve.
As a practical suggestion, maybe if they have comments and questions, they can type into the Adobe Connect, and we can relay it here. So
right,
we're discussing.
Yeah. Right. So please feel free to type in any questions into the Adobe Connect. Okay. So seeing no further items on this, I'm moving on to the next item, which is just a quick follow-up on the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. We posted a draft final report for public comments. It was posted on June 25th, and thank you, Bart, for pushing that through. And just quickly coming back to those proposed recommendations, I think we've repeated it in multiple times. There are four, one of which the first one is to recommend that IDN TLD operators themselves are to get our act together, actually, within the industry, within the community, to have universal acceptance in their own systems. And the second one is to ask to recommend that specific resources for the advocacy of universal acceptance be put in place. The third one is to recommend the development of some informational materials for new IDN TLDs, including gTLDs and ccTLDs, to handle these type of issues, because they are imminently going to be launched and will be facing these issues, probably in the next few months. And finally, to recommend that to recommend that ICANN support the universal acceptance beyond just outreach and awareness, to participate and to have further studies and take a look at what other issues should be taken care of. That's the set of recommendations from the report, and I And the again, it's it is posted for public comments on June 25th. It will be closed, scheduled to be closed on July 25th. So I encourage everyone to put in your comments. But if you have any comments now, feel free to speak up as well. Okay. Anyone from the chat room, from the Adobe Connect? Seeing no typing action, I think we're this brings us really to the close of the meeting. Again, thank you everyone for joining. I wonder if Jane is on the call. I know that she mentioned that she would be joining. I don't hear her or on the Adobe room, but in any case, so thank you everyone for joining, and we will I guess we will keep pushing ahead in terms of the letter through the two councils, and also we'll be promoting the universal acceptance report so that to get to get the comments from the community. And thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, everyone, for... Oh, Steve has something to add.
Yeah, thanks, Edelman. From the on the staff side, Francisco is going to be managing the universal acceptance projects. We had a few meetings that is in the planning stage, and we're waiting for the, to see the... preparing the looking forward to receiving the final report. In terms of outreach, during this past trimester, we reached out some browser vendors, and as a result, for example, we've subscribed Mozilla to a gTLD notification list. That means every time a gTLD signed contract, Mozilla will enter them into the public suffix list. So this will resolve some issues where, for example, in the past, some ccTLD has been added, and then it's not on the public suffix list, and Google Chrome, treated as search terms. So hopefully that's one area that has some progress. But again, the project is still in planning stage, and we look forward to receive the report. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. With that, any other questions? Seeing none, thank you everyone for joining.